This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Happy to be coming to you this week from Sarasota, Florida, where the Silver and Black have been training all week in anticipation for their Sunday night football game against the Miami Dolphins in primetime. Raiders are coming off another gut-wrenching loss, this time to the Buffalo Bills last Sunday by a score of 34-14. Jack Del Rio talked about it after the game, and he talked about it for most of the week. You can't win a game when you turn it over four times. The Raiders lost the turnover battle for nothing. No chance to win. They took themselves out of the game because of turnovers. And I'll tell you, Buffalo played well. Tyrod Taylor was 20 of 27 for 165 yards and a touchdown. The Raiders could not sack him, could not get him on the ground. Shady McCoy, 27 carries for 151 yards and a touchdown. So they played better. I'll tell you, the Buffalo Bills were flying to the ball. Two or three guys gang tackling, trying to strip the ball. They were ready to play. They were prepared to win that game. They jumped on the Raiders and won the game easily. Carr in the game, 31 of 49 for 313 yards and a touchdown, but two costly turnovers in that game. So it's a game that the Raiders really lost a golden opportunity to get back to 500, get to Sarasota to train at IMG Academy before the trip to Miami, and they're still answering questions on why are they 3-5 coming off 12 wins last year. And I think it's a combination. Injuries, no excuses here. Injuries are one thing. Carr had the back injury. Players on defense can't get healthy. They're thin when it comes to defensive backs. Before bringing in help at linebacker, they were really thin at the linebacker position. The offensive line has not stepped up and played at a dominant level. And I want to talk about that for a second. I talked to Donald Penn and saw him on this trip. Rodney Hudson is going to join us a little bit later on the podcast. I talked to him in the locker room at camp at IMG. These guys understand if they're going to go 7-1 and they're going to try to think that they could run the table, and that 7-1 term has been used a lot this week on the road in Florida, it starts with the offensive line. They got to start hammering opponents and running downhill and opening up holes for the returning Marshawn Lynch and these young backs here. Oakland is 26th in rushing yards, only averaging 88 yards a game. So they've got to pick that up and they got to get it going. Fortunately, they play Miami. Miami has been reeling. They traded their star running back, Jay Ajayi. He's out of there. He goes to Philadelphia. And Adam Gase, the head coach, sent a message to that entire locker room. Mike Pouncey, their star center, said that everybody got the message. Quote, he said, "This is where we are. This is where we're going. And if you're not on board, you're going to get the hell out of here." Pouncey said that of his coach, Adam Gase, who really brought down the gauntlet and said, "If you're not with this team, we're trading you." And they were trying to move players all last week going into the trade deadline. So when you look at the Dolphins coming into this game, they are just awful when it comes to their offense. They're 32nd in points at 13.1. They're last in total offense at 252 yards a game. They're 30th in passing yards at 176. And they're 31st in the league in rushing. They don't even rush it for 77 yards a game. So the Raider defense that's given up 120 rushing yards, they got to play big in this game. They got to show up and play at a very high level. Finally, I think the defense is going to be able to stop Miami, no matter who the quarterback is. They just got to be solid against the run and get a great pass rush. And the outside pass rushes should have a big day. The Raiders should finally come up with an interception or two, the first team since 1950 without an interception through two games. Jack Del Rio needs this defense to step up. Obi's back. That should help. They need to see if this kid could play at a high level. And again, the offense just can't turn the ball over. They have to be successful getting Marshawn going. And as long as Carr attacks downfield and doesn't check down and throw underneath, I think there's going to be big plays opening up throughout the game. Busy, big game. The Raiders have no more margin for error. Let's get to our guest on the official Raiders podcast.
It's a pleasure to welcome Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio to the official Raiders podcast. Coach, thanks for doing this.
You bet, JT.
You talked all week long and you gave a lot of praise to the organization about the work that they're doing behind the scenes to make this easier for you. Let's lead with that and the whole entire staff and how it's gone so far this week in Sarasota.
Yeah, our ability to do what we're doing, to be able to take our our entire operation and go on the road and then be in a remote destination for this week. It's huge for our team not to have to travel back and forth. It's a great atmosphere for us to be in, get a chance for camaraderie. But the guys behind the scene that make it happen, all the IT guys, the equipment guys, Bob Romanski and his staff, Tom Jones does a heck of a job with the operations part, really kind of masterminds the whole thing. And they just provide everything that we need so that we can operate as coaches and players and come down here and just concentrate on football.
I've been watching this group behind the scenes for years. They're so good at this. They're pros. And bring that to your message now. You talked about mojo, getting hot, what you have to do. How does this atmosphere help you do that easier?
Well, everything counts. It all adds up. So to me, we have so many people throughout the organization that are helping. They're pulling in the right direction. They're making it all about us concentrating on our job on the field. And when you get that kind of support, it all adds up. All these little factors add up to help you have success.
You talked about losing the turnover battle 4-0 in Buffalo, which was a big deal. So you come into Sarasota. How do you preach interceptions and playing faster and harder coming off that game? What was the message coming off of Buffalo before Miami?
Yeah, the biggest thing for us is to get back to just cutting loose and playing football and having fun. I think, you know, when I got here, I reminded them of the vision that I have. I want an attacking football team. I want a physical football team. I want to get back to just understanding who we are. Let's not forget who we are. And let's get back and doing those things. You know, yesterday's practice was off the charts. I mean, really, really outstanding effort. Guys, I think, embrace that message about, you know, just cut it loose, man. There's, you know, why die a slow death? I mean, let's go for it. I mean, let's lay it out there. Let's go for it. Let's start the second half right, and let's you know, let it rip.
With your defensive principles as a former player and now a head coach, how do you send that message differently to the offense compared to the defense? Because the critiques from the fans on the offensive side is open up the offense and keep it open. Is that part of this let it rip philosophy?
Yeah, no, I think it comes down to execution.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. I mean, if you make plays in key moments, it opens the door to so many other plays and opportunities. And so that's where we can't go back and worry about what isn't. We got to focus on what it can be and go forward.
One more thing on the offense. Derek, at his press conference, really seemed to be focused. Some guys are talking about you got to run the table, go 7-1. It's always one game at a time, but it just seems like the way Derek was talking to the media. Everybody understood before the Buffalo game, before this trip, that wins are a priority, but it really seemed to snap and kick in for him.
Yeah, I think Derek understands it. I think, you know, I try to put down an overall tone. Look, you know, you typically have to get the 10 wins in this league to get to the postseason. Okay? And that doesn't always guarantee it, right? But you typically do. So here we are. We're sitting at 3-5. So we got to get on a roll here, okay? And I believe we can, okay? I believe in this group of men. So let's just let it go, man. Forget about feeling bad about what the first half wasn't, what we wished it would have been. Let's go forward. All right, boldly go forward, believe in what we're doing and how we're doing it, and go about our business. And that's what we're after. Now, I think Derek understands it's 1-0 each week. That's what you've got to do.
As we look at the Dolphins' last total offense, 32nd in points, 13.7 points a game, 31st in the rush and 30th in the pass. And Adam Gase really, I wouldn't say lit up his team, but Pouncey said he did, and Landry was on the trade block. They trade Jay Ajayi. It seems like this game on Sunday night could be that emotional, not only for your team that wants to flip the switch, but Miami seems like they got marching orders from their head coach saying, we got to get this thing turned around, and if you're not in, you're not going to be here long term. Talk about Adam Gase, his philosophy, and the respect you have for him.
Yeah, well, Adam and I were together in Denver. You know, he was leading a prolific offense. I was leading a lights-out defense, and we won a lot of games together. So, you know, that's what I know about Adam. I mean, he's a good football coach. He does a great job with design, and he does a great job of signal stealing. They like to signal steal. Get the quarterback a little tip on what's coming. They do a pretty good job with all that. But the bottom line is, I think both teams recognize the need to be better. You know, Adam being an offensive guy, even though he's had some wins in those situations, he doesn't like being ranked like that. Look, I'm a defensive guy. I don't like my defense ranked down there. But the bottom line is, as head coaches, we know we're football coaches trying to lead these teams. Both teams have we think, a better opportunity in the second half to do more damage.
One other thing I wanted to mention about one of your players, Khalil Mack, coming off the Buffalo game. I wanted you to talk about his maturity. The Buffalo media hit him pretty hard after that game because his returning, playing college there. How has Khalil reacted coming off that loss? Talk about his maturity coming into a big game like this nationally on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think Khalil, to me, he's a stud. He's solid. I don't think he's paying attention to that kind of talk. I mean, he brings great effort and energy every day. And some days it adds up to more in the stat column than others. But he's a load to deal with. If you're trying to deal with him offensively, you're trying to block him and handle him, you got your work cut out. And he brings it every day.
You have a big event coming on next week. Let's talk about your foundation and the vision, because there's a lot of opportunities, especially you being back in your hometown. I'm sure a lot of people are coming after you for charity help and want your help, and you're very passionate about this. The base of the foundation and your short-term goals in the next year or two.
Well, first of all, my wife and I, we started this, the Jack Del Rio Foundation, and the idea was to help give to underserved children. You know, so the kids that need a break, and we feel like in our lives that so many people helped us along the way to get where we are and those types of things. So we want to give back. We're going to model it a lot after the Mooch Madden, the bocce tournament.
Sure.
And so we're going to raise some money for some you know, great charities here in the East Bay, and the NorCal Special Olympics will be prominently a part of it. The Hayward High Public Schools, we're going to donate some money to the Hayward High Public Schools. So we're going to have a bocce event. It'll be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to it.
Coach, we'd like to wrap it up with your message going into Miami to the Raider Nation.
Oh, the biggest thing is we're going to give you everything we have. I when I came here, I said I'm going to pour everything I have into returning this organization to greatness. And we've stubbed our toes a few times this year. But believe me, we are bringing that commitment. We're giving everything we have, bringing the heart, the effort. My heart and soul is involved in this process.
Thank you, Coach.
You got it, JT.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Really appreciate Coach Jack Del Rio. He's very busy at this time, wanting to get a win, obviously, and especially with all the work he's doing as the Raiders are in Sarasota. Really appreciate that exclusive right here on the podcast. Earlier in the week, I went to the IMG Academy and caught up to Pro Bowl center Rodney Hudson.
Big question this week in Sarasota, how does the offensive line get back to their dominant self?
Oh, we just got to keep working. Get the plan first and dissect it and learn it as best we can and get ready to execute.
Your physicality, grade yourself this year so much, because the second half of the year rides a lot on winning games and getting on a hot streak. How are you feeling physically?
I'm fine. You know, part of being a pro is taking care of yourself and getting feeling as good as you can and get ready to play.
Let's talk about Ndamukong Suh and this defensive line. When you think of this unit in general, is it very physical? Are they more technique, scheme? What are your concerns with the Dolphins?
They got a lot of good players. They have a lot of good players, play well together, and they play fast and hard.
What was the big lesson coming out of Buffalo for you guys?
We just got to not make as many mistakes. Take care of, start a little bit faster. We had a good drive the first drive, but then we kind of didn't afterwards. So we got to put drives together back-to-back and continue to push that.
Coach Del Rio talked about getting on this trip for team bonding, getting you refocused for the second half of the year, finding your mojo again. Do you think you'll accomplish that on this trip?
Yeah, we gotta work at it, though. Nothing is given, so we just got a lot of work to do.
Second half of the year, expectations are really high. It starts with Miami. You got New England and Mexico City. There's a bye week coming. Just talk about the next couple of weeks and the sense of urgency for you and the offensive line.
Take it a week at a time. You can't look ahead. We played the Dolphins this week. Can't look past them. And we just got to focus on them.
Thanks again to Rodney Hudson. The offensive line has to dominate this week. He's the center. He's got to take charge. Early in the week, I also talked to Marquette King, the star punter, outside at the Ritz-Carlton right in Sarasota.
I want to begin first for you. The loss in Buffalo and now training in Miami, getting ready for this game. How important is this week for you? Because you told me you were disappointed not only with the loss in Buffalo, but your performance. Was that more about weather or just a bad game, everything coming together?
Just no excuses, man. I just had a bad game. No excuses about that. I just got to find a way to bounce back. And I don't know, I didn't think I was going to have a bad game this year, man, but sometimes you got to have those moments.
This Fort Valley State transition coming out of Rutland High School, Take me back to that age and what you were thinking about going off to college, what that meant to you, how nervous you were at the time, and what was that journey like? What type of football were you playing back in the day?
I definitely wanted to go to a bigger school, whatever, but at the same time, I didn't do everything I needed to do on my end to go to the big school. So I ended up going to Fort Valley, which was one of the best decisions ever. It was a real fun time. The best times of my life being broke.
Shane Leckler's the punter. He's a great punter with the Raiders. You go undrafted in 2012, and then you get the tryout. Take me through that day as you're prepping for that tryout. Was that a moment where you thought, this is my one chance, I gotta be great today? What was that day like?
I don't think it was just one day. It was a couple of days. At the time, Hoffman showed me little stuff I had to do, and I would miss the bus sometimes and just stay on the field while everybody else go back to the hotel and just keep kicking until my leg was tired, just so I could finally get it. And one day it just clicked. During the summer, it just clicked one day, and every time I just had the ball here and just swung my leg, it was just flying. So
you heard the name Ray Guy back then, and then mm-hmm. Shane became a legend with the Raiders, and you're following in those footsteps. Looking back at those legends who came before you, mm-hmm. is that something you think about, or you want to be your own man?
I'd rather be my own man. I mean, it's cool to see that we got beastie punters that punted for the Silver and Black. So, and it's cool to be part of that group. And I don't know, I feel like it's a standard that I want to reach as far as being trying to be the best at the position that I play to help the team. So
you dropped a tune on iTunes. I know you're really proud. I heard it. We were all listening to it the other night. How proud of an accomplishment is that?
It felt real good, man. I was chilling in the weight room back in Oakland and looking at iTunes and put my name in there, and it popped up, and I just started running around the facility like, yeah, I got a song on iTunes now. So it was cool. It felt real official. When I first started making music, it was in high school. So at the time, me and some of my friends would get on a computer, make music, and let each other listen to each other's music. But I stopped because the software that people use now was a little complicated because I didn't understand it. So I finally got on it and created a song.
Do you want to produce down the road? Do you want to be an artist alone? Do you want to put a band together? What are your short-term and long-term goals?
Let's start a band.
Yeah, I can sing. You know me.
You can sing?
Yeah. We need a hell of a Mustang sound. So we can get that going. Tell everyone where they can get your music.
Well, one of the ways, they can go to iTunes.com, or they can go to iTunes, cop this song, QTTE-3.
Thanks again to Marquette King, and please download that song on iTunes. Finally, Eddie Pascal joins us every week, the senior writer for the Raiders, typically from Alameda. I got a chance to catch up with him right here in Sarasota, Florida.
Let's begin with this sense of urgency and how the Raiders need to win this game badly and start to stack some wins.
Look, this team is two games under 500. It's not a place that anyone really thought they would be heading into 2017. But as Jack likes to say, this is what they've earned to this point. But to get to the playoffs, to return to the postseason for the second year in a row, they need to start winning, and they need to start stacking wins. They can't win 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row unless they win that first one. So they have a big challenge ahead of them this Sunday night in Miami against the Dolphins, and hopefully they take the most of that advantage, and I can kind of springboard them into the next month, very vital 6 weeks for this club.
We just talked to Jack Del Rio about 7 in a row or running the table and all that. Coaches are going to tell you one at a time. But I'm sensing the players on this trip understand the math. They know that they've got to get to 10 wins. They got to be, at a minimum, a double-digit team. They should be ready for this, Eddie, because they won 12 games last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Amari Cooper said as much yesterday. He said, look, we won 12 games last year, and we were a wild card team. If you want to get to the playoffs, you need to win at least 10. And right now, we got 3. 3 is not going to get the job done. So they realize that there is a heightened sense of urgency. I was talking to Trayvon Hester the other day in the locker room. He said, look, it's crunch time now. We've kind of gotten, we don't have the benefit of being able to slip up here, slip up there. Like, this is go time for us. We got to go. And if we want to make a run and do some really special things in 2017, it's got to start Sunday night.
This is the first team since 1950 to start a season without an interception on defense in the first 8 games. How is that affecting this defensive unit? How hungry are they to get into this turnover war?
Well, this is a prideful group of guys. Ken Norton Jr. says it all the time. He goes, we have a prideful group of guys on this defense. And Reggie Nelson, a veteran in this league, a guy who's done it at the top of his game for pushing a decade, he said earlier this week, he goes, look, we're having interception withdrawals. We want to take the ball away. That's what we want to do, and we want to do it well. And as you said, they haven't done it just yet. But this is a group that when they can get going and they can do it and they can force that turnovers, they're the biggest momentum swing for a team. and they need to get that going, and they need to get the ball away from Jay Cutler and this Miami team.
Should we make too much of Marshawn Lynch coming back, or he's just another guy on the 53 who's out there to do his job? Because this is Sunday Night Football. Marshawn's won a Super Bowl. He's got his own reality show. This is a TV show on Sunday night. How much will the Raiders lean on Marshawn Lynch, who's coming off his own bye week due to suspension?
Well, we haven't yet spoken to Marshawn. As we all know, Marshawn, a little fickle with the media. But Derek Carr was asked about Marshawn, and he said, look, anytime you get one of your guys back, it provides a boost. Anytime you get a teammate back, and not only a teammate, but a guy who, when he's rocking and rolling and is at the top of his game, is one of the best power backs, probably in NFL history, he goes, that's going to provide a boost. And so, you know, we're still kind of on the fence of how much we're going to see Marshawn Sunday in Miami. But, you know, just having him back here, having his presence around, I mean, that's a boost for any team.
Eddie, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, Brick.
So that wraps up this week's edition of the Official Raiders Podcast. I want to thank everyone on the ground in Sarasota on the way to Miami who put the podcast together with interviews with the head coach, the center, Marquette King, the great punter. We had a lot of fun. Eddie, as always, does a great job. This was a challenging week for the Raiders because the behind-the-scenes staff, they do such an amazing job. Bobby Romanski in the equipment department, the video department, the doctors, all the individuals on the road who work with the players on and off the field. This is a family. The Raiders are a giant family. And Mark Davis gave everybody the opportunity to go out on the road, not go back to Oakland, and train. And as Derek Carr said this week, have another mini camp, have another opportunity to bond and hopefully turn this season around. That's where we're at the rest of the way. No one's throwing in the towel, but these all become must wins, and we'll treat it that way. We got the bye week coming up, and then we'll finally join you after a little time off and get you ready for the New England Patriots as the Silver and Black at a home game, but they play that in Mexico City before their next real home game in Oakland against the Denver Broncos. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.